All right, Psalms 37 tonight. We'll be in Psalms chapter 37. And while you're turning there, while it's fresh on my mind, just let me mention just a couple more things about that book. If you know someone who's going through it or has been through it, the truths in that book will help them heal. And maybe you grew up in a home that was just the way it was. It will give some clarity and meaning, because there's a sense of guilt that comes with being a victim. And it's like, well, this, all these things took place. And I think it would be helping the healing process as well. There's a chapter in there on if you're a family member of somebody who's going through that, what to do, what not to do, and certainly not to be their adversary and tell them to be unsafe. That's not something you should do. And so I think there's a healing nature of that book as well. And so I just wanted to mention that, what's on my mind. You say, well, I know somebody who's been through it. Well, there's probably some wounds there that'll help them make sense of it, because it's a subject. I don't know why God's put me in this place. He's put me in a position to address subjects that we don't like to talk about, that there's nothing, we don't take the time to put the scripture out there. And so that's all I'll say about it for the next 5 minutes. And so we'll see where this goes tonight. But no, I do want it to be a help and be a resource for people. Psalms 37, I mentioned to you this morning that I'm going to preach on the subject of evildoers tonight, and I'm going to do that. And so we'll start with verse number 1 of Psalms chapter number 37. This is not a message of just condemnation of evildoers. We can do that, and there should be condemnation of evil, but I think it's important for us to know how to respond to evil and evildoers. We live in a world, there's always been evil. But we live in this digital age where the evil comes to our fingertips. Through we see it in headlines, we see it in real-time video. You can see evil. Evil is normalized. We have politicians, and our government puts up with evil, normalizes evil. There's an evil element in this world. And let me remind you, this is spiritual. This is not political theater. It is a spiritual battle, and the forces of evil are battling against the forces of good. And so the more prevalent it gets, the more we need to understand how to deal with it. I'll define evil in just a moment. But let's look at Psalms 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Tonight, I've titled this, How God Deals with Evildoers. How God Deals with Evildoers. Father, we pray that you would help us take the truths of your word and apply them to our heart, apply them to our world. And Father, may we follow the pattern that you've set. May our actions honor you in spite of the actions of others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many things that trouble God's people. We have the sufferings of life, the suffering of the world. There's suffering that comes with just being alive. It's Ecclesiastes talks a lot about that. It's just life. There's hardship that comes to God's people. It's not just our humanity that gives us a hard time. That it's not just humanity that makes us come up short, oppresses us. But evildoers are oppressors and frustrators of God's people. Evil is different from sin. We are all sinners. And our sin does affect us and affect other people, but evil, to just give you a simple definition, is sin or wrong with the intent to hurt another. That is the difference. God understands that we are all sinners, and there is penalty or punishment for our sin. We understand all of that. but God also addresses evil, and if I can say it like this, puts evil in a different category than sin. I get blacklisted for this, but all the better. If somebody who, quote-unquote, falls and commits adultery, that is sin. But the gossip in the church, I believe, is evil. Meaning, God puts that in a different category than the sin. Now, if you want to slip out in just a moment because you don't like that, I'm sorry. But evil is something that we have to reckon with. And we live in a world of evil. That's why we look at abortion, and abortion is not just sin, it's evil. It is the intentional harm, the intentional taking of a life of another. This transgender nonsense is evil. To tell a child that they can become something that God did not make them and to literally destroy their body and destroy their life, that is evil. You say, well, what about these politicians who say that? No, they are evil. It is evil intent. It's not about a political affiliation with me. It is satanic. It is from the source of evil. It's from the pits of hell. We must understand and be careful that we live in a sinful world. We live amongst evil, but friend, we don't have to be evil. And tonight my message is not about just condemnation about all the things that I get frustrated with when it comes in our country, but don't you get frustrated with evil? Doesn't it seem like every time you turn around and say, what are we supposed to do? But it's not just evil in the macro, if you will. People do evil to us. Saved people can do you evil. Lost people can do you evil. God does not separate evil from lost to saved. He just categorizes evil. See, the embodiment of the frustration can be encapsulated with this question. I don't know if you've ever asked this before. You can kind of get a sense of it from David, and God answers it. Why do evil people seem to get away with it? You know, you look at the things that go on in our own government, and it's a blatant breaking of the law. It's a blatant evil, and it just seems like they get away with it. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but you see people do evil, and you ask these questions: why do corrupt leaders prosper? Why do wicked people succeed? Why do liars seem to get ahead? Compromisers rise faster than the faithful. Pastor, we haven't compromised the truth. These other churches, they compromise, and it seems like they get their buildings built, and they grow, and all these things. Oh, I feel that. Compromise seems to get you ahead, some would say. If we can say it like this, but say, Lord, it seems like they're winning. If we're honest, sometimes it feels that way. We preach right, we live right, we sacrifice, we serve. And meanwhile, the evildoer cuts corners, cheats, manipulates, lies, and seems to thrive. And can I just say, a lot of these quote-unquote community emerging churches, for you to tell somebody that they don't have to believe on Jesus, confess their sins, accept Christ as their Savior in order to be saved, I can't think of anything more evil than that. That's why some of you and I are different in that, and you want to buddy up with them. I'm not buddying up with them. You know, I'm not the only Baptist pastor in this area that won't link up with the Catholics for any occasion, but there's not enough. Because to tell somebody you got to pray to Mary or anybody else in order to be saved, that's evil. But I don't think they're hurting for money tonight. I don't think they're hurting for prestige. Just in case any of you are wondering, Pastor Neil's not getting invited to Tallahassee to open in prayer. I'm not getting invited to D.C., not even by the Independent Baptist, to participate in whatever it is they do there. It seems like those that cut corners and won't compromise, it seems like they're getting further behind, and those that are willing to say, I'm not worried about the next generation. I'm not worried about, you know, I'll cut down this fruit tree so that I can see more people saved now. I'm not worried about the fact that there's no fruit trees in another generation. You say, why does it get ahead? Well, there's some things in Psalms 37 that I think will help us, and I'll go through these. I have, I think six statements tonight, and I'll go through them quickly. I remind you that's a relative term, but number one, evildoers will appear to prosper. We see that in verse 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Notice this. God says, fret not thyself because of them. God does not say they won't succeed. He does not say they won't have some success. He does not say they won't prosper. He says, don't fret when they do. Because for a season, they do get the promotions. For a season, they do gain the followers. For a season, they do make money. For a season, they do escape consequences. For a season, it seems like they have more influence. And there's a temptation there, mom and dad, that maybe we think, well, maybe it's not, we shouldn't do it this way. Maybe we shouldn't be so hard and fast on certain things. That's the devil's lie to convince us that sin works better. And by the way, let me just say that you can be against sin and evil. And this will just came to my mind, and this will help you understand your pastor. We all can stumble in sin. And we ought to have enough grace and mercy to help everybody. But evil's a different category. I'll go bail somebody out of jail and bail somebody out of jail and bail somebody out of jail and say, Brother Bob, you're going to have to resign as a deacon if I keep doing this. But I'll do that over. But I'm not going to let somebody do evil and destroy a church, a home, a life because of what they post on the internet. You can be against sin and against evil, but tonight there are evildoers, and we need to know how to respond to them. Number one, I said evildoers will appear to prosper. Number two, evildoers have a shelf life. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. He doesn't say immediately they shall be cut down. It's always it's the same play, different actors. Ecclesiastes talks about there's no new thing under the sun. You see it, they get bold in their evil, they get bold in tearing down, they get bold. You see it in the government, you see it in the lives of Christians, you see all of that, and it's just, and then they are just, oh, it just seems like they are at the top of it, and people that didn't even know them come out of the woodwork, start cheering for them. Why? Because evil finds itself. But just remember something, there's a shelf life. It's a shelf life. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Notice the words of the Bible. It doesn't say eventually, someday, soon. Pastor, why couldn't it be yesterday? I'm getting ahead of myself. It's not our responsibility to even worry about the judgment of the evildoer. It's not our responsibility. And when we get worked up, and rightfully so, When you've been a victim of evil, it affects you. And you want justice, and you want all of those things. But let me remind you, it has a shelf life. And by the way, part of this message tonight is to just remind us of how to treat evil in this world, but to also give us some help in keeping us away from doing evil. And young people, don't get enamored by the, well, they defied and they did this and nothing's happened to them. There's a shelf life. It catches up. Have you noticed how fast grass grows? We live in Florida. I mean, it's been below freezing for however many hours, 24 or whatever. But you're still going to need to cut your grass Friday because we live in Florida. Grass grows fast. but it dies faster than it grows. It can grow fast, but this July and August, let's let it not rain. See how fast it dies. It could be green and plush, and then the next day, Brother Psalm comes by and sprays your yard and it's dead. Just kidding. My yard is a plush green. But don't water it. It's going to die faster than it grew. So you think about it. God says wicked success is shallow. It's temporary. It's fragile. May I remind you that evildoers look like oak trees, but they're just weeds? Those that obey the Scripture and are the righteous, the growth is slow, but it's slow growth that lasts. Don't envy someone whose success is short-lived. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but Christians, we're not living for now. We're not living for today. We're living for eternity. And everything that is in this world and everything this world applauds is going to burn up. It's not going to last. Let me make statement number three. God commands the righteous not to react like the evildoer. Verse 3 through 8, we see this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Instead of fighting evil with evil, God gives us five commands here. Notice this in your Bible. We see trust in the Lord. In other words, don't panic. Don't panic. Evil is getting ahead. Evil is taking control of our country. And evil's always been there. We just see it more. Don't panic. This is the end of America as we know it. The end of America as we knew it happened a long time ago. But can I tell you, God is in complete control. So don't panic. We trust in the Lord. You remember COVID. You remember 2020. You remember all of that. What are we going to do? Trust God. Trust in the Lord. Don't panic. He says, do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So don't compromise. Pastor, it just seems like those that have cut corners and compromising and this and that, just seems like they're getting ahead. What are we going to do? We're going to keep doing what we're supposed to do. We're going to keep preaching the truth. We're going to keep giving the gospel. We're going to keep doing everything we're supposed to do. We're not going to compromise. What else do? We delight in the Lord. We see that in verse 4. Keep your joy. You know, I hope we're not to the place that if you don't get a like on Instagram, it ruins your day. Hopefully our joy is in the Lord. Well, life is so bad for me. I went to Chick-fil-A and they didn't even tell me my pleasure. I mean, that's how rough life is for me right now. But when you got up this morning and you said, good morning, Lord, He heard you. His promises are new again. You went to bed saved. You woke up saved. You can rejoice in the blessings of God. Well, that's where your joy is. Number 4, he says, commit thy way. Stay faithful. This is what every one of us needs to do. Everybody here, everybody watching from home, or wherever you're watching from tonight, you need to make up your mind. If you've already done it before, you ought to recommit it tonight, that no matter what anybody else does, I'm going to stay faithful to God. If I'm the only one in my family, then there'll be one in my family that stays faithful to Him. If everybody else falls by the wayside, then it'll just be me. I'll stay faithful to Him. We all ought to be just determined, I'm going to be faithful. It doesn't matter what happens in this country. It doesn't matter who's the president, who's not the president. It doesn't matter what takes place. I'm going to be faithful to God. After we commit thy way, we rest in the Lord. Now, we see that in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, if you were with me up to this point, I'm going to lose some of you on this one. What is he saying when he says rest in the Lord? Stop trying to fix everything yourself. Say, Pastor, I just can't, I can't understand why this would happen. Be thankful that your mind isn't evil. If you came to me and said, let me tell you everything the devil's thinking, I'd be like, oh, y'all on the same wavelength. But I don't understand it. Be thankful you don't understand it. Can I help you? Don't try and fix it. Because you don't have that power to fix it. Now, pray, do right, be the right kind of example. But you can't fix everything yourself. I'm not just preaching to you. As a pastor tonight, I see things, and I see where some things can go sometimes in the lives of people, and I wish I could fix it. But I can't fix it. And you and I can't fix what somebody else is doing. What I mean by that is because when we see evil prosper, can we be honest with each other tonight? What do we want? We want revenge. I'll fix those evildoers. What does that mean? Oh, it's revenge. You know, I don't get mad, I get even. That sounds good when you're 8 on the playground, but it's not really scriptural. We want revenge. If you say, I've never wanted revenge, I don't believe you. We want payback. This has been wrong to me. I'm never getting this. And I felt this way. I'm not getting these days back. I'm not getting these years back. I'm not getting those opportunities back. It's because of the actions of somebody else. What do we mean by that? Lord, if I'm going to fix it, I want some payback. But here's the one that we have the trouble with. What we really want is control. Because when we lose control, we have no choice but by faith. Trust God, obey God, serve God. I hope this is making sense tonight. He commands us not to react like them. I have seen this in my life, and unfortunately in my ministry, somebody will be a victim to evil. And instead of, and by the way, you have to die to self. Can I just, will you permit me tonight? I know what I'm preaching tonight. I know what I'm preaching tonight. And you have to die to yourself. You have to die to your flesh. You have to die to your will and just say, God, it's not what I want, but I'm going to yield to you. It's a hard thing to do. But how many times have I seen somebody get bitter because of evil that's done to them? Or turn around and do evil back to them? I've got a lot of people, for some reason, who don't like me. And by the way, in this world, if you're going to do right and you're going to stand for right and you're not going to compromise, you know, you're going to make yourself a target. But if I shared what I knew about some of those same people, they'd never show their face again. But then I would be awaiting the judgment of an evildoer. Not an evildoer's judgment, but of doing evil and waiting on the judgment of God. We got to be careful with that. Let me tell what I know about them. Oh, no, that's not the way we're supposed to respond. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like that. I don't like it either, but it's Bible. Can I say this? The worst. Let me just say it like this. I think this is the, if I can summarize it, God would say to us, you just take care of obedience, I'll take care of justice. And be careful of this, because we say, well, justice was not done. You're not the judge. We read headlines, we see things, and justice was not done. You don't know that. Or why did God not do this? Because God's the righteous judge. And you don't know all the facts. I don't know all the facts. You don't know what justice has been handed out. But we have a tendency to do that. And God just says, you obey, I'll handle justice. Man, that would solve a lot of our problems right there, wouldn't it? The worst thing you can do when surrounded by evildoers is become one of them. I wish I could tell you that my actions were always spiritual. You're supposed to gasp right there and not, we know, Pastor. I wish I could say that all of my conviction comes from I am just in tune with the Holy Spirit. I try to be, but a lot of it just comes from stubbornness. And what I mean by that is I'm not letting you change me. With God as my helper, I'm not moving off of the Bible position. With God as my helper, I will not get bitter. Well, Pastor, you could get hurt again. I'd rather get hurt again than miss the joys of ministry, the joys of help, the joys of seeing God do victories, the joys of knowing that you're serving Him. Is this making sense tonight? The last thing that we want to do is become like everybody else. The last thing we want to do in a world of evildoers is become an evildoer. Statement number, what are we on, 4? Evildoers always face divine accounting. I'm not going to take time because we're running out of time, but verses 9 through 15, for evildoers shall be cut off. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. It bothers me that we're still debating abortion. It bothers me that transgender is even a word. But the day's coming when these haughty, prideful, anti-God, anti-decency ideology, if they don't repent and get saved, God's going to laugh at them in their arrogance. And justice is coming. And it's not coming in a bill that goes through Congress. It's coming from the Almighty. There's divine accounting. There's always a reckoning. This is the part that nobody sees. And I'm trying to get us to see tonight that it's not our job to make sure that justice is met. It's not our job to necessarily hold the evildoers accountable. Ultimately, that is God's business. There's always a reckoning. There's always a payday. Is it not still in the Bible that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap? That's why if you want people to be loyal to you, be loyal. Amen. Good. Be loyal. And that's why, let me just say this. I hadn't planned to say it, but I just feel led to say it. And I don't know of anything that's going on, but if somebody sticks their nose into this church and somebody in this church tries to get you to go leave this church to go serve with them, to go work with them, and they don't come through the pastor, and you do that, you're gonna reap disloyalty. You're going to reap it. It's going to come to happen. Why? Because the Bible's true. God's books are perfect. Did you know that? Evildoers face divine accounting. Number 5, the righteous always inherit what matters. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek is not just the beat down. Meekness is strength under control. You with me? Amen. I could fight back in some areas. We could leave our purpose of doing the Great Commission and say we're going to become a, whether we admit it or not, a political rally. Right. Right. A political arm. We're still going to say Emmanuel Baptist Church, but this is going to be our focus. Or we could, the illustration I used, I could fight fire with fire. No, meek is strength under control, meaning I'll take the power out of my own hands and I will humble myself to what God instructs us to do. And you say whatever you want to say. You do whatever you want to do. You throw rocks at God. I'm not going to put up with it in my presence. But by the way, Jesus is pretty capable of defending himself. That doesn't mean we should just fall back into the shadows. I think you know that. But God is still the Almighty. But the meek shall inherit the earth. The righteous always inherit what matters. Don't miss this. Evildoers fight to get everything now, and they lose everything later. They fight for it now. And they'll fight for the attention. They'll fight for the following. They'll fight for the rallying. They'll fight to get young people away from the things. They're trying to get everything, but they're going to lose everything later. Lose everything later. The righteous give up things now and inherit everything later. Do we really, is it our goal? And it's not. But is it our goal to really have a name in this world? Is that really our goal? I just want to be an influencer. God help. Is that really what we're trying to be? We have to keep this with eternal perspective. Just on average, evil people, they live their 70 years. But those of us that are saved, we're living forever. Even those that are saved, they can live for now, but they'll have nothing laid up for eternity. And this is the way, and I don't know, my brain thinks different than the average person's, and you're probably all thankful that it's not widespread virus, the way my brain thinks. But I just look at it and say, you're keeping score, but we're not playing the same game. I'm not laying up things here. I'm laying it up there. And if we keep that as our focus, the righteous always inherit what matters. And in closing, let me just remind us that the cross is the ultimate example of this principle. Those evildoers won for a little bit, didn't they? They won. But their evil was actually complicit in fulfilling the will of the Father. Can I just throw this thought out there? If God will allow those evildoers to do what they did to His Son, and they felt like they were winning, they walked by that cross and they railed on Him, and their arrogance, come down. Call the legions of angels. Save thyself. Little did they know that 3 days later, 3 days later, the tomb is empty. And the world was turned upside down. And eternity's never been the same since. Could it also be possible that God might allow some evil in this day? I believe this with my whole heart because of the rampant evil. Some of the things I've mentioned tonight, there's more people open to the truth than I think even in the past. You know, you can believe what you want politically. Some of you are political junkies, I know it. But Donald Trump did not get reelected because of his winning personality. I mean, every poll, liberal, conservative, people were sick and tired of having lunacy and evil pushed in their face. Now's the time for us. The cross is the best example. We'll have to have God help us with it. And we'll have to try and not take matters into our own hands and just serve and obey. But boy, sometimes it looks like evil wins. They lied on Christ. They beat Him. They mocked Him. They crucified Him. But we know who won. Tonight, this message, if you're frustrated, it's easy for God's church to get frustrated in a day like we live in. Maybe you feel just like you're, quote unquote, your wheels are spinning in your Christian life. You just can't get it. And every time you seem to take a step, somebody or something knocks you down. It feels like those that are dishonest are advancing faster than ever. It's like, I just confess to you, it gets frustrating as a preacher and taking some of the scriptural stands that I've been willing to take and others have not been willing to take, and yet it just seems like they are embraced by the brethren. If you're tempted tonight to cut corners and mom and dad soften your convictions, well, our family just ostracizes us and makes fun of us, and you just, I don't really believe that. I'm just going to play along. Don't. Don't sell your family out for temporary success or acknowledgement. Because when it all settles, the only thing that survives is righteousness, obedience. Can I just leave us with a final challenge tonight? Three simple commitments. Join me tonight in these simple commitments. One, I will not envy evildoers. We're told not to fret not about them. We're told not to envy them. Young people, be careful. I wish I had their freedom. I wish I had their liberty. Young adults, well, I wish I had a pastor that didn't look over our shoulder. That's not me looking over your shoulder. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't envy evildoers. Don't look at the Hollywood. Don't look at the professional athlete and all they seem to have, and oh, I wish I had. Don't look at all that and envy it. Don't look at, by the way, don't look at what you see on social media. Well, if I could have that, and it doesn't seem that they don't draw their lines or we draw. Don't envy it. Second commitment is this: I will not imitate evildoers. I will not imitate evildoers. You don't have to treat them like they treat you. Man, that's hard preaching. It's harder living. And that's the truth. They're not as smart as they think they are. They're not as righteous as they think they are. They're not as holy as they think they are. They don't have Scripture to back them up. So why don't we point that out? No, it's not our job to point it out. It's our job just to live the way we're supposed to live. I don't want to imitate them. I mean, there's not going to be trophies in heaven for us, Christians, for the people whose reputations we destroyed. There's not a crown in heaven because I got the last word in. I mean, and I'm preaching not just to you, I'm preaching to me. Because, man, the things that go through my head when I hear some things people say, I'm like, Lord, keep it in my mouth. Keep it in my mouth. The third challenge, this is what separates. I will outlast the evildoers. I will outlast the evildoers. There's a lot of evildoers that through the years have tried to destroy this church. I say this with no pride, but let me say, where are they? Some to find them, you got to go to a cemetery plot. Some you can't find them. They're not in church. They're not serving the Lord. Well, I'm not that good of a Christian. Nobody said anything about anybody being a good Christian. It's just determination. I'm going to outlast them. Well, Pastor, people have done me wrong. People aren't going to stop doing you wrong. Aren't you thankful for God's church? Where we can come and we can love one another. We don't even have to like one another, but we can love one another. And we have that spirit and that unity, and we can overlook each other's flaws and each other's faults, and we can embrace the fact that we belong to Him, as we talked about this morning. And if He's all of our Father, you know what that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. Determined to outlast them. I know what it's like to be betrayed by preachers. I always like them to betray you, and then seemingly they excel. But I'm not quitting. I'm not in competition with them. But this is one thing I want them to know, that no matter what anybody does, with God as my helper, Sunday morning I'm walking to this pulpit. Sunday night I'm walking back to this pulpit. No matter what you go through, somebody mocks you at work, you got family giving you a hard time. When those church doors are open, you come in and you fill your spot. You do what you're supposed to do. This world gets worse and worse and worse. Have we read the Bible before? It says that things are going to wax worse and worse. They're not getting better. The Republican Party is not turning back the clock. In many ways, they are just turning that speed dial faster. Jesus is coming back, and for Him to come back, it's got to get worse and worse and worse. To say, what are we going to do? We're still going to be the church that still believes the King James Bible is the Word of God. We're still going to believe in salvation by grace. We're still going to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. We're still going to believe that Allah is not the way to heaven. The Pope is not the way to heaven. We're going to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth. We're still going to be a soul-winning church. We're still going to be a church that has convictions and standards. And we're still going to preach to our young people that, hey, give your life to God. Use your life to serve God. Well, I don't feel called. Why don't you just give your life to Him anyway and just spend your life keeping people out of hell? That is still who we're going to be. Well, they may say, well, we're going to get rid of those kind of churches. Well, I think we can just outlast them. We can outlast them. You say, well, Pastor, what if we have to have church in a tent? We've been there, done that. And we've had some cold services in that tent, didn't we? We had some hot services in that tent. We had ducks visit us. Frogs regularly visit us. We even had a peacock. How in the world that happened, I don't know. I mean, if you know, you know. So what are we going to do? Outlast. With God as our helper, quit focusing on the evildoer. Focus on Him. I said this, and I don't know why this is all coming to mind, but I said this to somebody one time. I said, I didn't pick where I stand. I didn't pick my beliefs because of you, the brethren, or anybody else. So I say that because you and the brethren don't determine whether or not I keep them. This is what I believe, and I'm keeping it for Him. Keeping it for Him. Why don't we all determine that tonight? I'm not going to envy the evildoer. I'm not going to even take the effort that we take in fighting the evildoers. We can take that same effort and energy and try and win the lost. One of the greatest distractions for God's church in the last 10 years is politics. There's Bible-believing churches that have been distracted. They're doing everything they can to get different people elected, and I want better leaders, but I'm not commanded to get anybody elected. I am commanded to reach the lost. And I'm sorry, it just grates on me to have a political rally and have people show up and canvas doors for a candidate when we won't canvas doors for Jesus Christ. It's a distraction. We've got to get the evil out of office. Vote then. Vote a lot. Vote once, vote twice, whatever. Vote. Win people to Christ. Something tells me if the Holy Spirit gets inside of somebody, He might help them know how to vote. My Bible does tell me that God raises up leaders. And He takes them down. Hey, Pastor, do you think the 2020 election was stolen? Let me answer that with this. I think God put Joe Biden in the White House. Well, how in the world? I'm not God. But my Bible tells me kings rise and fall. because of God Himself. He's the one we ought to look to. I don't know where all this came from, but let's in the day we live in, let's just keep our eyes focused on Him. I don't know about you, but I get frustrated. I can't watch the news. I can't watch any of that. So why? Because TVs are expensive, and I just keep throwing things through the TV when I see some of that stuff. I want to know what's going on in the world, and I take it in doses, but there's some days I can't listen to it. So we need to know what's going on. Well, that's why I read the Bible. And the Bible tells us what's going on. It's amazing when you look in here and then you look at the landscape, you're like, oh, I know what chapter we're in. I know what's happening here. Well, let's just keep our eyes on Him. Father, help us tonight as we consider these truths. May we keep our eyes on You.